Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we start a new sermon series for September on the book of Genesis. The word Genesis means origins, and that's a great title for the book because the first book of the Bible describes the origins of creation, life on earth, and human beings. The first book of the Bible describes the first day, the first people, the first sin, and the first destruction of the earth. The first line of the first book of the Bible tells us so much. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, there is God, and only God, the Holy Trinity. There's only God alone. He is the source and the beginning of all things. He is the only one who exists from all of eternity. The universe hasn't existed forever. People haven't existed forever. Angels have not existed forever. Only God exists in eternity. He created the heavens and the earth, which is the ancient way of saying the universe. God created everything, which means first and foremost, this universe we live in is not an accident. It is a creation. It is not an accident. It is a miracle. God, first of all, created the universe by his word. God said, let there be light, and there was light, Genesis 1:3. Or in our psalm today, we read, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of his mouth. Now, the universe didn't always exist. That just doesn't make sense. Even science tells us that the universe has a beginning and it has an end. The universe did not come spontaneously into existence. It did not create itself. And since the universe exists and it is not eternal, it has a source. And that source is God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did God make the universe? Well, the Bible tells us that. People throughout history have told stories of how their gods, quote unquote, gods created the world, usually through some great battle. Hindu and Chinese mythology says the world is resting on the back of four elephants who are standing on the back of a giant turtle, but that's totally cool, but it's not what the Bible says. The Vikings believe that the world was created by the body of an ice giant killed by Odin, which is also really cool, but it's not what the Bible says, and it's not the way the world was made. The Bible tells us that God didn't have to battle anybody. There is no equal to God. God created the universe out of his good and gracious will because God loves to create. God is the ultimate creator, the ultimate artist. And the way God created the universe was very simple. It was by the power of his word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of his mouth. The Bible tells us that God's word has the power to create. It has the power to change reality. His word is the ultimate power in this universe. When Jesus, the word made flesh, was on earth, he performed many incredible miracles like we talked about last month. And most of them were done by the power of his word, by his word alone, showing he is the creator in the flesh. God created the universe by the power of his word. So how long did it take God to create the universe? The Bible also gives us an answer to that question as well. God created the universe in 6 days. Genesis 1:31 to 2:1. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. The Bible tells us that God created the entire universe, earth, our solar system, all the stars, all the galaxies, everything else in this universe, in just 6 days. Now, people sometimes might ask, I mean, Pastor Larson, do you really believe that God created this whole huge universe in 6 days? And I get their point. I mean, really, why did God take so long? I mean, God, if he wanted to, God could have created the universe in 6 seconds or in 6 milliseconds or in 6 nanoseconds. Now, there's a reason why God specifically chose 6 days as the days of creation. And the answer to that question is in Exodus chapter 20, pointing towards the Sabbath. God set an example of working for 6 days and resting on the seventh day and commanded his people to do the same. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. All of this, the Sabbath day included, was pointing to the resurrection in which Jesus rested on the tomb on the seventh day. So there's a reason God chose 6 days for creation, and it all focuses and comes to pass through the cross and the empty tomb. Now, sometimes people ask about the age of the universe. And of course, there is no way to answer that question from a human point of view, because we have to remember that God did not create a brand new young universe. God created a mature universe for people to live in immediately. What do I mean by that? Well, let's put it this way. If God can do anything, so if he wanted to, he could create a fully mature 100-year-old oak tree in our front yard over there, right? Of course, God can do anything. If the next day, after God created that oak tree, you cut it down and lift up the rings, you'd see it had 100 rings in it, just like a full mature oak tree would. But you would also know that it wasn't there yesterday. How old is the oak tree? Is it 100 years old? Or was it, yes, is it one day old? Well, it was created yesterday. It's only one day old, but it looks 100 years old. Why? Because God created it fully mature. Now, God created a fully mature universe because he wanted people to be able to move in and live in there right away. God, when he created the earth, didn't create a bunch of empty space with a bunch of nuts in the ground and acorns planted. He made a fully formed mature earth with plants and flowers and fully mature trees that were already bearing fruit and a weather system. He did the same when it came to animals. Let me ask you a question. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? There's a biblical answer to that question, and Genesis 1 tells us. Genesis answers that question for us, and the answer is the chicken. God created fish and bird and land animals. He did not create eggs. They were created as fully formed adult animals, fully mature, ready to reproduce. God created human beings the same way. Adam and Eve were not created as babies. They were created as fully mature human adults. When Adam and Eve were one day old, they looked like they were 25 years old or older or however old they looked, but they were fully mature. When God created the universe and the world and people, he created a mature universe. Why? Because this world and this universe was made for a specific purpose. The universe is not a series of random occurrences. It was not invented for no reason. It's not a spontaneous self-forming entity that formed itself into something we see today. No, the universe is not an accident. It's a miracle made by God. Why? Because God created this world for a purpose. What purpose is that? To be your home, to be your home, and to be the home of all your fellow human beings. God wanted to make a good home, a perfect home for us to live in. When God made the world, it was good. It was very good. In fact, it was perfect. It was a perfect place for humans to live. Now, I know it's not perfect anymore. There's a reason for that, and we're going to talk about that next week. But when God made the world, it was very good. It was a perfect place for humans to live because humans are not an accident. Humans are the point. Humans are the reason God created this world. Which brings us to our second point that we need to take away from Genesis 1. The universe, first point, the universe is not an accident. It's a miracle. Second point, you are not an accident. You are a miracle. Why? Well, because you're made in God's image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 1:27. Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God created trees and God loves trees. God created the animals. God loves animals. But only human beings, not animals, not trees. Only human beings are created in God's image. Of all the miracles of God's creation, you are the greatest miracle of them all. You are God's greatest creation. You are his Mona Lisa, his Ninth Symphony, his masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship. We are God's masterpiece, created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now notice in Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God makes two types of people, just two, male and female. God definitely limits how many genders the human race has. There's only two kinds of people, male and female, and both are created in God's image. They are not interchangeable. Men and women are different but equal. They are equal but not interchangeable. However, both male and female created in the image of God. Both of them are fearfully and wonderfully made. Someone asked me about that word fearfully, if that's the right word to use. That's the word of the Bible, but it's not typically the way we use the word fear. Fear in this case has nothing to do with being scared or terrified. Fear in this case means something that is absolutely awe-inspiring, something that takes your breath away. I think we could say you are awesomely and wonderfully made because you are God's miracle. You are God's masterpiece. Just take your body. Your body is an incredible miracle. Take a moment to look at your fingers. God gave you a unique fingerprint. You have the same fingerprint that God gave you 6 months before you were born. You still have those fingerprints in your womb. They are your unique barcode that marks you as your own unique miracle of God. Your lungs are amazing. Do you know that your lungs have the surface area, the same surface area as a tennis court in order to oxygenate your blood? And oh, by the way, your heart pumps blood through 60,000 miles of veins. Your eyes are a miracle. Your eyes can distinguish 1 million different color surfaces and take in more information than the world's largest telescope. And your brain, well, it's nothing less than the most sophisticated supercomputer of all time. It's more complicated than anything else in the universe. You are a miracle. Your human body did not come together by chance or by accident. You are no accident. You are a miracle, and you are made for a purpose. And the purpose of your life, according to the Bible, can be summed up in one word: relationships. You are made for relationships. Genesis 2:18. It is not good for the man to be alone. John 15:15. No longer have I called you servants. Instead, I have called you friends. When God first made Adam by himself, he made the statement, it's not good for man to be alone. Adam needed a friend, so God made Eve. We're not made to be alone. We are made for relationships. We suffer without relationships. We're made to have relationships with people, with family, with friends. And most importantly, a relationship with God. God wants us to have relationships. He wants us to have friends and family. After he creates Adam and Eve, he tells them to go forth and multiply, form families, form friendship. God wants us to have lots of friends, lots of family. God wants us to be together. I think we see in our culture the devastating effects of loneliness. I think people are incredibly lonely, and they are hurting because of that. People are more separated from each other than ever before. And so we see depression, we see drug use, we see suicide all rising up in our country at astronomical rates. Why? Because we're not made to be alone. We're made for a purpose. We're made for relationships. It's not good for people to be alone. God said that when he first created us. We're made for relationships. A relationship with people, but also a relationship with God. God didn't create us to be servants. God doesn't need servants. God created us to be his friends. You might wonder, why would God want to be friends with us? What do we have to offer? But it is exactly what God wants, and the Bible says so. Jesus himself said this to his disciples: no longer have I called you servants, instead I have called you friends. And he announces to his disciples the night before he dies, greater love is no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Jesus showed himself to be our very best friend by laying down his life for us on the cross. He died on the cross so that you and I could have a relationship with God that lasts for eternity. So that one day, when we leave this world, we can go to be with him in his perfect home forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.